Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
I have known so many who were well-read. I have known so many who could take the scriptures, and it's like they've got a scriptural defense for everything, or the answer for everything. They're just full of answers. And yet you look at their life and you wonder, where's the disconnect? They know so much, but there's nothing admirable in their life or their character or their personality. Yeah, they know a lot. Yeah, their life's in order, but man, who can stand to be around them? So, we need to be with Jesus. That's walking with Him.
Pastor Troy starts out by asking this question: what motivates you? He tells about a man in the Bible named Enoch. Enoch's motivation was only to please God. Those who walk with God aren't concerned about what anyone else thinks or what they may get out of something. Their only concern should be that they're walking with the Lord, pleasing Him. Did you know it pleases God when you walk with Him? Pastor Troy says it keeps you out of trouble and from making bad decisions. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 11 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Today we look at Enoch and a faithful walk in Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. What motivates you? I mean, what is it that pushes you to give all? Is it the praise of men? Is it the hope for some greater thing out there that if I do all here, then I'll achieve that, I'll get that thing? What is it? In 1830, a little British girl was sitting with her private tutor, obviously well off. And he would consistently tell her, you need to be a good girl. You need to make sure that you behave and be a good girl. And this day, they were looking over their genealogical chart, their family charts, and she realized and discovered that she was next in line for the throne. As she took it in, she looked at her tutor and said, I will be a good girl. Her name was Victoria. And she became Queen Victoria of England. In fact, there's a whole era, the Victorian era, that's named after her. The knowledge of the fact that she would be queen motivated her to want to be good, motivated her current behavior. Enoch is a man who had a motivation as well. His motivation was simple. He wanted to please God. Not some great thing. He just wanted to please God. And we read that he did. So his goal each day was to walk with God. Those who walk by faith, they're not concerned with what everyone else thinks. They're not concerned with what they're going to get out of something. Their only concern is that they're walking with the Lord, that they're pleasing to Him. That was Enoch. And so we're going to look at his life. Verses 5 and 6 sort of sum it up. And we begin in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So we can please God. We can please God. That ought to motivate us to want to live different. The desire of our heart not to be should not be for some great thing, but to please God, because we can. Abraham Lincoln said, you can please some of the people some of the time. You can please some of the people all the time. You can please all of the people some of the time, but you can never please all of the people all of the time. It's good to know that because it should help us stop trying to do it. Trying to please people, to fit what they want or what they expect or what they try to impose upon you. We want to please God. So how do we please God? Well, we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. It says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. So how do we please God? Live 300 years. No, we can't do that. What was it about Enoch that we read that pleased God? It said twice in that text, he walked with God. Enoch walked with God, and that's why he pleased God. It's a word picture. When you're walking, you're going a direction. You're preoccupied. You're focused on the journey, walking. You're talking with someone. You're listening to them. If they're the ones leading, they know the neighborhood, then you're turning with them or you're not walking with them. And so there's a sense of purpose in walking. There's a difference in walking and meandering. Walking has purpose, intention, even if that purpose is just because you're on a diet and get on some health kick, and so you want to do what you need to do to get healthy. There's a purpose in walking, a focus, maybe a direction. Meandering is just, oh, I'm going to go over here. Oh, let's go over here. There's really no direction. It's aimless. That's not the kind of life we're called to live. Is an aimless life. That's the life the world lives. They're searching after something. They don't know where it's at, so they hop from one thing to another, from this job, this career, this state to that state, this relationship to that relationship, this church to that church, looking for something. But that's not the life we're called to live. We're called to walk with God. Throughout history, when Jesus would call someone, he didn't say to his disciples, "Receive me." He said, "Follow me." And it's what he calls to all those who would be his and who would be conformed into his image. Follow me. Walk with me. So we please God by walking with God. There's a difference in walking with him and knowing about him. Giving a nod to him. To walk with God means that you're going a direction with him. It's one thing to sit in church on Sundays and Wednesdays, and to hear and to amen and to receive. Say, "I like that. I agree with that." But something different to apply it, to live it, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day of the week, no matter what comes up and no matter how challenging it might get out there. We are to walk in Christ. Not to acknowledge him, not to carry him along, not to say he's there, but to walk with him, to walk in him, in fact. Colossians 2, 6 through 7 give us the whole idea. It says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." We're to walk with him in such a way that we're learning from him. We're watching his model. Well, that question, what would Jesus do? I know we've begun to mock it nowadays as we do. Something is good, then it lasts a while, and then people begin to mock it. Don't mock it because it's something we ought to consider. What would Jesus have me do? What would Jesus do in this situation? How would he have me handle this? If I were walking with him, what would I have seen if he were the one that was here? Galatians 5:16 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Being filled with the Spirit, listening to the conviction and the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because if we do that, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, kindness, peace, all of these things are the evidence, the fruit that someone is walking in the Spirit. And the scripture says, against that, you don't need a law. You don't need a bunch of laws. Because you want to encourage that, promote it, fan it into flame. So when we walk in the Spirit, we make a difference. Not because we try to, but because we do. There's just something different about someone who spends time with the Lord. It's as if the priest, the high priest who would go in and offer that fragrant offering to the Lord, he would come out with that scent on him. You could tell he'd been offering to the Lord. You could tell. And that's what happens naturally in the life of an individual who walks with the Lord. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to try to convince everybody that you do it. Because if you have to convince people, you're not doing it right. Because when you walk with the Lord daily, there's a fragrance that begins to become part of who you are, part of your life. A person who walks with God is a person who walks a narrow path. No meandering, no trying this and trying that. There's direction, there's focus, and the path begins to narrow and more so as we walk with Him, because we begin to get rid of those things that are burdens that are unnecessary, things that will hurt us. And there are some things that are good, maybe someone else can handle, we cannot handle. For instance, some who've gained wealth and they have found that it ruined their life, they say, I don't need it. It's bad for me. I can get it, but I don't need it. It's bad for me. Power, authority, position. Some get into positions and it's not good for them. They become arrogant, prideful. You can't deal with them. And God brings them low and they come down to this place. And if they get it, they realize, I don't need that. Not good for me. A person who walks with God is walking an ever-narrowing path. A person of faith doesn't try to run to the crowds or draw the crowds, because they're only interested in stepping with the Lord, following Him. A person of faith is having their mind renewed so that they begin to see things the way God sees them instead of the way they've always seen them.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid rock.
Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Pleasing God or walking with God keeps us out of a lot of trouble, keeps us from making bad decisions, hurting a lot of people. It's ultimately going to keep us from those paths that lead toward death. In fact, it's what it says about Enoch. Enoch didn't even taste death. And this was at a time before Christ when the fall of man gave way to death. Death was a judgment for that fall. But here's a man before Christ who it says didn't taste death. He didn't taste the consequences of what sin had produced. The word taken away means carried across or a sudden transfer. In other words, what the scripture's saying of Enoch is he was here walking around among us one day and then he wasn't. He was gone. It's a picture of the rapture. I think God often will give a foreshadow of the things that He's going to do because they're so amazing, we need to have some reference point. For example, before His resurrection, do you remember there was another resurrection? And He said, I can't go right now, not yet, give me a couple more days, because Lazarus had to die. And then he would raise Lazarus. They would raise him, or he would raise him, and the people would see resurrection is possible. Resurrection is real. They were getting the picture. So that, and this was not too long before Jesus would be raised himself. When he was raised, it wasn't a brand new concept. And in the same way, it seems he gave us pictures in the Old Testament of this idea of escaping judgment, that his people who walk with him, who he loves, would not have to fall under the judgment that sin brought, but could be actually lifted up before it hit, which is where we get the picture and the idea of the rapture. So many examples. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 52, Paul wrote, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that is, die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed instantly. Some will not taste death." One day, this rapture is going to take place. It was the Thessalonians that Paul wrote to that were concerned because they were looking for Jesus' immediate return. They were excited. Okay, we understand what happened. He died, he raised, and we heard the stories, but all right, we're waiting for him to come. But others had started to die, experience death, and they wondered, have they missed it? And Paul said, no, they have not. He said, they're going to be caught. They're going to be resurrected. Their bodies are going to be transformed. And they've departed their bodies. They're going to be reunited with these resurrected bodies now. And we who are alive, he says, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." That day is coming. Walking with God helps us to avoid a lot of missteps, a lot of problems, and ultimately things that will lead to death. Destruction. On the other side, it also builds in us a testimony. Walking with God builds in us a testimony. One thing that we know about Enoch is that not much is known about Enoch. You can look for him. You can do an in-depth study on Enoch, and there's only about 5 verses that refer to him, and it's mostly in the context of a genealogy. And you'd think there'd be more written about the activities of a man who pleased God so well. Come on, give me some examples. He pleased God. I mean, he missed death. Tell me what he did. How did he please you? But I think the fact that nothing is revealed about, no thing is revealed about him, except that he walked with God and pleased God, speaks something very important to us. It gives us insight. And I think it's this. We should never confuse doing great things or fame with greatness in God's eyes. Some great thing. If I do some great thing, I'm great in God's eyes. Or if I'm seen by others as great, then I must be great in God's eyes. It's the blessing of God. That's not necessarily true. And we also should not confuse being unknown or mistake being unknown for being unimportant in God's eyes. Enoch's testimony was not some great thing that he did or a series of things that he did. He simply pleased God because he walked with him. Day in, day out. So you don't need to be famous. You don't need to do some great thing to please God. And I say this because there are many that I have talked to who will think in terms of greatness. And they'll say, well, I have nothing to offer to the Lord. What do I have? What can I give to God? How do I bless him? How do I please him? Well, let me tell you how. Just faithfully walk with him. That's enough. Don't you agree with that? I mean, isn't it hard enough just to get up and to tackle whatever comes that day in a way that would honor him? That's enough. We don't need some great thing. This is what Enoch did. He walked with God every day and he pleased him. And guess what? When you do this, you will please God and you will be a testimony. God will use you to do things you never imagined. I'm so amazed to see God working in some of your lives. I'm impressed almost, not with you, although it's awesome, but I'm impressed with God. Because it's almost like you scour and you look and you go, yeah, head taller, good one, yeah, those are the ones. But then you see the ones that keep rising up, like, no. See those guys. But then they rise up and say, all right, try something, do the announcement, do something, you know. And you see God's with them, they're walking with God. Are they perfect? Oh, no. No, I have a lot of work to be done, so do I. But they walk with God, and it makes a difference. You'll be amazed at what God will do and how well he'll do it without you trying so hard. It was in Acts chapter 4 that the disciples, just fishermen, are standing before the Sanhedrin, a group that probably knew more of the scripture than all Israel put together. I mean, you talk about head knowledge, it was all right there as the disciples stood before them. The disciples had nothing new to give these guys. But it says that they looked at them and they were amazed. There was a power, there was something about them. And it says this about them. They noticed that these men had been with Jesus. It made a difference in their life. Not the education, not the eloquence, not anything else, but these guys spoke as if somebody who was with God, but they were with Jesus. They never could connect those dots, or never would. The key, having spent time with Jesus. It's what will enhance any ministry that we ever partake of. Whether you're ushering, you're cleaning toilets, straightening chairs, just out and about in the line, in the grocery line, and someone is next to you and you talk to them. Worship, everything. Time with Jesus makes a big difference. In fact, it's essential. Fame, position, head knowledge, you know, lots of knowledge about things. Some are so well read or so studied up on the scriptures. It all goes to the head. None of these things are a good measuring stick for greatness. Just because someone knows a lot doesn't mean they have a right heart. I have known so many who were well read. I have known so many who could take the scriptures, and it's like they've got a scriptural defense for everything. Or the answer for everything. They're just full of answers. And yet, you look at their life and you wonder, where's the disconnect? They know so much, but there's nothing admirable in their life or their character or their personality. Yeah, they know a lot. Yeah, their life's in order, but man, who can stand to be around them? So, we need to be with Jesus. That's walking with him. It'll change our attitude toward what we do, and it'll change our attitude toward others. It'll change our attitude about what we prioritize and see as important. Fame, position, knowledge, wealth, they're a poor measuring stick for greatness, but let me tell you something about them. They will often, when we have them, mask certain issues in our heart.
Faith is something that sounds easier than it realistically is. As we've continued to study through the book of Hebrews, though, we hope you've noticed just how often faith is referred to. Many people have held on to their faith despite trials and despite personal mistakes. This wasn't easy, but we have their lives, the Word of God, and the support of the body of Christ to help us thrive. Here at Building on the Solid Rock, we realize how hard this journey of faith is for everyone. We want you to know that we pray for you often. If you ever have a specific prayer request, please email us at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can find out more about this ministry as well as listen to other messages from Pastor Troy by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast while you're there to never miss a new edition of this program. That site again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Troy will continue walking with us through Hebrews next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.